Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer, Joe Metz, and Zach Graham.
Presented by the FTN Network.
Bringing you the analysis you need on breaking news, betting markets, and your fantasy lineups.
Well, if you are coming over to the FTN NBA Podcast from the NBA DFS Livestream, thank you. If you are just tuning in for just the podcast, thank you as well. But I am Joe Metz, your host of the FTN NBA Podcast, joined as always on this Tuesday, February 8th evening by Zach Graham, Kawhi's DFS, and Adam Pfeiffer, a Pfeiffer 24 on Twitter. Trade deadline, less than 48 hours away. We're sitting at about 44 hours and change. We had some huge splashes in the NBA today. Some players that we knew were in the trade discussions, but not players that at least I expected to be traded more than 48 hours prior to the deadline. You know, there's Domantas Sabonis, Tyrese Haliburton, a player that the Kings had originally deemed untouchable. And you have all the Portland moves. And we haven't been together to talk about the Caris LeVert to the Cleveland Cavaliers news yet. So why don't we start there, go chronologically. I'm going to kick it to Adam first, of course.
Rightfully so.
Talk to me about Caris LeVert, how you feel he will gel with this Cavs team. The return was Rubio, a pick. Was there another player involved?
No, it was Rubio, Cleveland's 2022 first, the Rockets' 2022 second, and Utah's 2027 second. The Cavs got Miami's 2022 second, and of course, Caris LeVert. I had been kind of souring on the idea of Caris LeVert for a little bit because Indiana was asking for two firsts, and apparently I've been doing a lot of, like, listening to podcasts and reading. The Cavs have been working on a deal for LeVert, trying to get him for the last month, which isn't, like, shocking.
Oh, really?
But, like, wow. it's just shows that Colby Altman, like, this is the player they wanted. And I think Caris LeVert, like, he's having a little bit of a down year, but this is a move that's not just kind of signaling that Cleveland's trying to win, like, you know, this isn't like a cute story anymore. Like, they're trying to make a run for the top seed in the East, etc. But it's also a move for the future because Caris LeVert's 27, I believe. He has one more year left after this. Then he already said he's open to sign an extension with this team. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at it, it's pretty obvious what Cleveland needed. They had no backup. Like, Brandon Goodwin had been playing well as of late, and Rondo had a good game last game. But, like, outside of Darius Garland and the half-court offense, this team struggled to score as of late. So Caris LeVert gives him that. And he, like, Cleveland's a team that it's pick and roll with Garland. It's lobs to Mobley and it's lobs to Jared Allen. They don't have anybody that really attacks the rim. That's what LeVert does. Top 10 in drives per game. Cleveland was, like, bottom 5 in points per game off drives. So gives them another player that's going to be able to score for them in the half court offense. And he already said he practiced with Cleveland today. I think it was his first practice, and he had a post practice interview, and he said that he's excited to play off ball, which is great because Darius Garland's going to have the ball in his hands.
Yeah. To play off ball?
Chetty?
No, he's not currently active.
Colin Sexton.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He doesn't.
That we'll talk about that too, because, like, I wonder if LeVert starts right away, because on one hand, it's like, okay, you plug in LeVert, say, because Markkanen's still out. Mm-hmm. And when Markkanen comes back, the success they had, I think they still want him at the three. So you could just say, okay, LeVert takes a core spot at the two. But I'm also in the idea of, like, imagine the second unit, like, comes in and you think you're getting a kind of a break, and then Kevin Love and Caris LeVert check in. Kind of like that. But as a Cavs fan, I like the move. I thought Eric Gordon probably fit a little bit better, but Caris LeVert, 27, Eric Gordon. The Rockets still wanted a first-round pick for Eric Gordon, who's 32. And is now dealing with a heel injury, so to quote unquote. I'll take Caris LeVert the 6 years, and he apparently is excited to be there and play off ball. And we'll see, but it was a move Cleveland had to make, and it was a move that they were clearly interested in from what I've read for about a month or so now. And Caris LeVert also in the press conference said he expected to be traded to Cleveland for a while, so it sounded like it was, like, only a matter of time.
Okay, so I liked the move a lot. It was, so obviously, not being a Cleveland fan and not looking into all of that. Like,
I want to ask you real quick, Joe, you and Zach, your overall opinions on Caris LeVert as a player, because I've heard people say they like him, and I've heard people say Cleveland lost his trade. LeVert's not that good. So, like,
I like him. I'm like in the middle. I think he's a playmaker. I'm interested. I think the biggest part that's piquing my interest is what you said, the fact that he's excited to play off ball. Because look at where, like, we haven't seen him be a primarily off ball defender anytime in his career. Like, look at, like, the main production we saw from him in Indiana was him filling in for these guys that were out as the primary ball handler and at times the primary facilitator. You look at his time in Brooklyn, where we saw him pop off in the bubble. He came back from his extensive injury and literally had the ball in his hands. I think he was like top 10 in touches at some point in the bubble, and he dribbled, ISO player, like wasn't an off-ball player. He can get buckets. He can facilitate. So, like, seeing him play off-ball, I think, makes him more dangerous. I've always been very high in Caris LeVert, dating back to when he was at Michigan. So I think he's a player, too, that will have, you know, assuming he gels into this quote-unquote off-ball role more with Cleveland, the depth they just added. Like, there is zero need for Colin Sexton on this team next year with Caris LeVert. I think he is a good combination of Rubio and Sexton with the willingness to play off-ball. I do wish, you know, he's not the strongest defender, but Cleveland already has a good defensive unit, so I think that's
going to be... Yeah, especially with, like, this is the same case, not as good, obviously, but, like, Trae Young, one of the worst on-ball defenders in basketball, but having Capella and Collins and company behind you can kind of help that, and that's what Cleveland has with Mobley and Jared Allen, obviously, who are just... the Cavs are the best defense in the league. That's why. So, and I also think it's interesting with what they do with Sexton now, because if you fast forward to next season and LeVert's still there and Love's still there, all of a sudden this is like one of the deepest teams in the NBA. Like, Colin Sexton, like, Darius Garland is clearly like the future of this team. Colin Sexton is good. Like, Colin Sexton can average 20 a game. He's done it. And teams are interested in him. Like, I wonder if Cleveland's gotten calls about him over the next, you know, gets calls on him in the next 48 hours. So,
I mean, he's literally, like, if he's willing to scale back and embrace a Jordan Clarkson role, he could be one of the most valuable players for it.
He was such an efficient scorer last year. Like, he was, nobody talked, yeah. Like, he was really good. Zach, little, what did you think about this trade?
Padawan little thing in his hair still tricks me out a little bit, but yeah.
I mean, I know this. I can't get to your level of excitement, probably, Adam, but I absolutely love this trade for the Cavs. And maybe I'm a little bit, maybe I'm just like drinking the Kool-Aid here because I'm buddies with you. But like, I think this, like, barring any moves we'll see over the next 42 hours or whatever it is till the trade deadline, like. Is it crazy to say, and like, I'm not asking Adam this, let me ask you, Joe, and I know your team is also in this conference. Like, are these guys like legit contenders now?
So, okay. Oh,
man. Caris LeVert's their fourth best player.
You could argue he is their fifth best player.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's our fifth best. Kevin Love is playing on
board. So, right, look at, I don't know if I consider them contenders to win the conference, but I think I would put their ceiling as the conference finals, which is a really, really good,
like, define what you like contenders. So we were talking about, like, Discord was so fun today. It was all like during the afternoon, it was all with NBA stuff. It was all NBA talk. We were talking about the Cavs and we were talking about if they could come out of the East. As a Cavs fan that knows this team very well, I would be pretty shocked if they came out of the East and went to the NBA finals. I would not be shocked if they had if they finished the season with the first seed in the East, because they have one of the easiest schedules the rest of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
They have one of the easiest schedules the rest of the season. They, like you said, they're quietly loaded.
Loaded.
Like, Garland is playing at an all, like, he's obviously an all-star. Jared Allen should have been an all-star. They have the best defense in the NBA. Evan Mobley is literally, I think I saw like his impact on winning. Like, a rookie hasn't impacted a team's winning and wins like Evan Mobley has since Tim Duncan. Like, he's not Tim Duncan, obviously, but like, that's how impactful he's been.
So, I think there is like,
he's not Tim Duncan, Zach.
I'm not going to put them as a stronger contender over Chicago yet, but I think if they're going to leapfrog a team in terms of the contender rankings, it's Chicago. Chicago, after their loss yesterday, is 1-11 against teams with a top 7 record in the NBA. 1-11. I know that they have dealt with guys in and out of the lineup throughout the entire season. So is Cleveland. But listen to these.
So is like, every team.
Correct. So they're 0-2 against the Heat, 14.5-point average margin of defeat.
Yikes.
0-2 against the Warriors, 34-point average margin of defeat.
Yikes.
1-1 against the Cavs. They lost that game by 23. 0-3 against the Sixers. 0-1 against the Bucks. 0-1 against the Grizzlies. 0-1 against the Suns, which, you know, whatever the margin was yesterday. Like, if this team doesn't get reliable time down the road in the season out of Alex Caruso and Lonzo Ball, their two best on-ball primary wing defenders, without Pat Williams, who I have seen now that there is expectation that he can be back and ready for the playoffs. Unfortunately, not the best ball playoffs, but
yeah,
I just like, dude, Cleveland is just so, so deep. Like, this team is now built for the playoffs, and they have the guy that has been there before. They have Kevin Love, who his value is only going to skyrocket for this team as they get deeper in the season, as they get deeper in the playoffs, because he knows what he's doing around a team chock full of young guys. Like, he is going to be a key part, more so than he already is, of this team. So I love this trade for Cleveland.
Yeah.
They have to – sorry, Adam, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah.
they have to move Sexton, right? Like, he has to be gone in the next day and a half?
I don't think – the thing is –
he doesn't have to be – he doesn't have to – yeah, like, he's free agent next year.
Dude, even for a second, like, you got to get something. Yeah. It's inexcusable to not get an asset for Colin Sexton.
Well, what about New York? I know they're interested in Colin Sexton.
True.
Maybe you can get, like I would take Alec Burks or Fournier.
Yeah, absolutely. Have one of those guys come off the bench. Yeah.
Teams even deeper. Because Cleveland, like, they're deep, but they're not, we make the Chetty jokes, but, like, Chetty and Kevin Love are their top, shooters and Garland.
Chetty's, like, their ninth man right now, like, when they're healthy. That's scary. Like, Isaac Okoro, who...
Yeah, and that's huge, too, because Okoro doesn't have to have as much responsibility in offense.
Ball hand. And then the thing is, he has a much less now ball-handling responsibility with the second unit. So, like, Okoro, we give him a lot of crap because he's a Fitbit DFS guy, but he's a very good young 3-and-D player.
Yeah, I like Okoro. He's like Matisse Thybulle, just not even close as good of a defender. Like, that's his role for Cleveland.
Yeah, because he doesn't chase players and run into them right. And steal the ball. But, yes,
How about, you know, a team that could use Jarrett Allen and Caris LeVert right now?
Let's hear it.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets are dust. I'm sorry. They are toast.
But yeah, I like the trade. I'm excited. I expect LeVert to make his debut on Wednesday, so that'll be fun. And yeah, like, I think Cleveland's ceiling is like to get hot and make the Eastern Conference Finals. I just think where they could struggle, but LeVert does help this, is we saw it when they played Chicago last game. DeMar DeRozan and Ayu Dosunmu, like, they just took Lauri Markkanen and those the wings and centers off the ball, off the dribble so easily. So, like, if you're playing against DeRozan or Giannis or Butler, I worry about that. But, like, honestly, like, if they play, having the best player in the series is massive. But if they played Philadelphia right now, you can't tell me they don't match up incredibly well against Philadelphia. Like, Embiid's going to get his, but you have Allen and Mobley, and then the rest of that team. Like, so, like, there are spots where they can match up well, but, like again, I'd be shocked if they came out of the East and went to the NBA Finals. I would not be shocked if they won the East, which is kind of counterintuitive, but, like...
No, I know. Like, won the East regular season by record.
Right, just because their schedule is so favorable, and they are already a good team, and you can't say they got worse with Caris LeVert. What about the Pacers side we haven't talked about? Because this team has done some things the last 24 hours, Zach.
Yeah.
Let me just real quick. I know we're doing this for those that are only listening on the podcast feed. We are also dealing with the DFS slate, the 10 gamer here on Tuesday. We just got news from the Clippers: Reggie Jackson, Norm Powell, Nick Batum, my best friend Marcus Morris, and Ivica Zubac in at the five. So thoughts on Norman Powell starting, guys? 7K on DraftKings.
I like it. I don't love it. Like, Memphis is not a matchup I ever want to attack. That's starting or not, that team is still, like, annoyingly deep.
Yeah,
it doesn't really change much for me. He projects better, but not. I'm not, like, changing how I view this team now.
Sure. And before we move to the Pacers, one last thing. You guys know how much I love throwing together trades. Let me put a caveat into this one.
They already traded everybody.
No, it's probably
you have to move Sexton. You have to move Sexton.
Yeah.
So, and Adam brought up the Knicks. So I went right to New York City, Madison Square Garden, the key here, fellas, we have to bypass the front office. We got to go right to Tibbs because we know his mindset. Can we get to Tibbs and say, we will give you Colin Sexton straight up for Cam Reddish? Because he will do that trade. I don't think the front office will, but that one works straight
up. I don't think Cleveland would do it.
The problem is that, I mean, I think you want to get Cam Reddish, I think, in this situation over an Alec Burks who still has 3 years on his deal for almost $10 million, certainly a Kemba, Fournier, 4 years, $17 million per year. Reddish would be the asset that I would go after. Maybe you can get a second in there as well. A very far-fetched idea.
My problem with that is, and we'll go to the Pacers, Cam Reddish was mad about his role with the Hawks. So if he goes to Cleveland...
Cleveland's going to be better than what he's got in New York right now.
I mean, anytime he gets on the floor, it's like, oh yeah, the Cam Reddish is on their team. I forgot. But yeah, the Pacers. I mean, talk about the Pacers after this trade in terms of like what they brought back. And then we can go right into the, I think, the most shocking trade so far, which was also involving the Pacers.
Yeah. I mean, I was a little bit underwhelmed with what they got back for Karis. But like, I don't know. I just thought it was like the beginning of the fire sale. Like I said, I wasn't excited about it from their standpoint. Like Ricky Rubio's expiring, right? Like I don't think he's going to be back there because this is a multi-year project.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. He might re-sign with Cleveland next year.
Yeah, like for the men, right? Like I think wherever he goes, it's going to be a really cheap contract and he's going to be a really good asset, assuming he can get back to you know, at least 85% of what he was this year. Which, you know, maybe at you know, 32 years old next year is easier said than done. But yeah, man, like, can we just go ahead and talk about the next trade? Because that shapes the Pacers' future so much more than the LeVert deal. You know, shipping out Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, getting back Buddy Hield, Tristan Thompson. And oh yeah, the guy named Tyrese Halliburton. That, like, the Pacers, to me, win that deal. Joe, you're muted, by the way. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, there we go. Sorry. I said Tyrese Halliburton.
Reset your sign.
I know. Yeah. Tyrese Halliburton, now like the future of the Pacers. Like,
yep.
In one day.
This was a player that the Kings had said is untouchable 2 weeks ago. He has been playing incredible basketball. And Sabonis is not a bad player by any means. He's 25. Like, but I think it's kind of been proven through his short 4 or 5 year career that he's tough to build a true contender around. And I don't, like, obviously I don't know what went into the phone calls, but like pairing Tyrese Halliburton and Domantas Sabonis is so much more attractive than pairing De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis alone. Like, like if you're the Kings, but also like the way the Kings approach this trade, they mortgaged their future to get Sabonis and acted as if they're in win now mode when they are fucking 20-35 in the Western Conference. What are you doing? This, I mean, Domantas Sabonis certainly doesn't help their front court defensively. He will likely put up monster numbers the rest of the season from a fantasy standpoint.
Oh yeah, he's going to be great for fantasy.
Like, especially in an Alvin Gentry offense that likes to run fast. He is going to be crucial down the road in best ball, season long DFS. But I, like, you guys know how much I like Tyrese Halliburton. Like, he is such a well-rounded professional and he's 21 years old. Like, he is a player that I don't think can lead a team to a championship, but as a starter has a spot on a championship team.
There was no picks in this deal, right? It was just the six players.
I believe it was six players total. Oh, wait. No, I think there was a protected pick.
Picks were added.
There was a the Kings get the Pacers pick as long as it's between 5 and 15 or something like that.
Yeah, it was a first rounder and it's
Pacers are including a 27 second in the deal as well, it looks like. It's an interesting thing about these trades, like, at this time of year is, like, the first, like, we saw it in the other trade we'll get to, the CJ McCollum trade, where it first came out, it was like CJ, Josh Hart, and some picks. And then it ended up where there was like eight more pieces to that deal when all was said and done. I mean, like, the Pacers, in my opinion, I don't know how you guys feel. I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Like, they really just set the bar getting Tyrese Halliburton. Like, that's how you kickstart a fucking rebuild. And Adam, you and me were talking about earlier this afternoon. Now Miles Turner, like, you can keep him. Like, there's your center.
Dude, right? Woj came out because we're all expecting, okay, Sabonis is next, then Turner, although there was a little bit of hesitation with Turner with the foot injury. And then Woj came out and tweeted about, like, how Miles Turner is, like, open to staying and he's excited to play center, like, full time as the true,
did
like.
Did you see his tweet?
Yeah, that was that before the trade, though? He tweeted, like, an excited, like, it was like a gif or something. And I think it was before the trade, which means either oh, okay. he knew about it or he's maybe getting traded to a contender or something. But either way, Woj said he's excited about playing with Tyrese Halliburton, which of course you should. He's been one of the best facilitators in the league the last year and a half.
This tweet was at 8:46 a.m. So yes, this was
so,
before.
Well before. Yeah, so well either before he knew trade. And now is and was excited or something. But yeah, like. Joe, you mentioned it. Like, they said Tyrese Halliburton was untouchable.
Yep.
If you were going to trade him, and I like Sabonis, but, like, why not just trade him for Ben Simmons? I don't understand that. Because the Sixers wanted Halliburton.
Daryl Morey?
No, but I thought I saw a report that the Sixers asked for Fox and Halliburton, which, again, that's a little much, but, like, I don't know. I know there's more behind the Simmons situation, but I just can't believe they traded him. Like I can and I can't.
It's like you in on paper you can't believe he was moved, but then you realize what organization did it. Real quick, interjecting again with some DFS stuff. Jackson Hayes getting the start at the four. Alperen Şengün also remaining in the starting lineup for the Rockets. And maybe like can I divert us a little bit here because we did get 3-point shootout participants.
Ooh.
Yeah,
real quick, I want to add to that news. I don't know what that noise is. They traded for Justin Holiday as well, who can't play in Sacramento because he's not vaxxed. So just adding to
God.
The Kings yeah. being the Kings. But yeah, three point contestants. Let's yeah. hear it. I don't even have it opened up. So
Desmond Bane, that's the one I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. I'm a little disappointed Bobby Portis wasn't in it. I thought he would get a nod, and I'm serious. I thought he was going to get a nod. We were campaigning POTUS for three.
You already got Middleton in the All Star game. That's your yeah. That, just relax.
We'll get skills challenge. We'll have someone in it. Just wait. I'm hoping Grayson Allen.
Desmond Bane, CJ McCollum. It says Portland Trailblazers on their graphic. Somebody needs to get that changed. Fred Van Vliet, Luke Kennard, Patty Mills, International Patty going for the 3-point crown. Trae Young, Zach LaVine, and then your big in there, Karl Anthony Towns.
Zach, you said you think Kennard would do it a couple weeks ago, so good call on that one.
Hey, I called Desmond Bane. Cam Johnson got snubbed. That's one that should have been in there.
Yeah, he.
I'm taking him over CJ, right?
Yeah.
I'm with Joe. I'm going Desmond Bane.
Check this out though. The skills challenge, and I think this was out there beforehand, but I hadn't really internalized how they were doing it.
It's different teams, this year, right? Can you like quick summarize the rules? Because I followed some of it and got lost a little bit.
Sure. So I need to pull up the rules. All I have here is participants and teams. There's three teams. There's a team of Antetokounmpos. Alex, who plays for the Raptors 905, Giannis and Thanasis. Then there's a Cavs team, the home team, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley getting out there. And then a rookie team, Scotty Barnes, Cade Cunningham, Josh Giddey. So for the first time, I think I'm like I always watch the Skills Challenge, but I'm actually excited to see like regardless of the format, I just love the teams like looking at those nine guys competing.
That Cavs team's fun.
Well, yeah, it's their actual
look
team.
Look at that sheep. There we go. Okay.
No, but that is cool. I like that. And it'll just be fun to watch Giannis and his brothers, like, just having fun. Like, again, I can't stress enough, but go read the book on Giannis.
It's so good. Literally have it right in front of me. It's unbelievable.
Love it.
Also, quick, I'm going to divert us quick before we talk about, we haven't talked about the CJ trade.
CJ, yeah.
So
well, we got to talk. I want to talk about the rest of the Sabonis trade too, because we didn't talk about the like the Pacers' plan, and then I want to talk about like, are the Kings done? Because I don't think they're done.
Sure, I don't mean like Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes.
I said Rashawn Holmes.
Bagley.
Bagley. Like at least two of those three guys are going to be gone. And obviously, if we are looking at what has led us here in the last 24 months, really, you would think the most likely is Bagley and Harrison Barnes. Like Harrison Barnes is probably going to be one of the most sought after players on the market for any contender right now, if they can work with his contract. But Bagley will get a second chance somewhere. And Rashawn Holmes, he is a very versatile big that I think has value for a contender. I just don't – like, they have so many bigs now.
Yeah.
Where I think they'll walk away with Sabonis, Damian Jones, and, Alex Len. Like, you don't need more than that.
I mean, for reference, the contracts here, you've got expiring on Bagley. Holmes still has – he has 4 years at right around $10 million a year. So a nice contract there. Not going to overload a team's salary cap to take him on. Damian Jones is expiring. 2 years left on Alex Len, Chimezi Metu. But to your point, Joe, we've got too many bigs here. They kind of already had too many bigs, but now with somebody like Sabonis who's going to
somehow they made it worse.
Yeah, like he demands a larger minute share than any of those guys we just talked about. So
yeah,
I think they're definitely not done. But I think it's more interesting to talk about not just the Halliburton piece of what the Pacers did and Turner being able to kind of be alone in that front court and be the guy down low. But what about the ramifications for a guy like Malcolm Brogdon? Because we all know about his medicals at the draft, many GMs anonymously quoted as saying the worst medicals they've ever seen. It's clearly caught up to him over the last couple seasons. And he hasn't, I mean, he's played 50 minutes in the last 2 months.
When I was with the Bucks, obviously Brogdon, people were pissed when we let him go and didn't re-sign him. A lot came out internally that along the lines of his physicals, there was speculation among the NBA executives that he wouldn't last 5 more years in the NBA because his body is deteriorating that quickly. And we kind of see it year after year. Like it's happening earlier this year, but look at the last 3-4 seasons. Starting with the Bucks 2018-19 playoff run when they lost to the Raptors in the to go to the Eastern Conference or in the conference finals, excuse me. Brogdon, you hit the 50-ish game mark, and his body he just shuts down. He cannot play an NBA season, let alone an NBA season plus an extensive playoff run. So I think what the Pacers did with Halliburton, they get a combo guard who obviously has a much longer shelf life in the NBA, and one that can also play, has proven the ability to play off ball with a point guard like De'Aaron Fox. So I don't think he'll have any problem playing off ball when Brogdon is healthy. But I think this is a pretty big indictment and sign as to what Indiana thinks about Brogdon's maybe not only future with Indiana, but in the NBA. Because Brogdon losing a step is like Brogdon running in with cinder blocks tied to his legs. He's already not an uber athletic guy that burns by you. So he doesn't have much to hang on anymore.
Well, Zach, his contract's tough too, right?
Yep, it is.
4 years left, about 21 and a half, 22 million, I think, or 3 years after this one, I should say. So I think the Pacers would be in a better spot if we were a decade in the past and they hadn't used their stretch provision yet, and they could just cut him and stretch that contract over multiple seasons. It's not a great spot. If you don't move him somehow, because then you're stuck at Malcolm Brogdon's not an off ball guard. He's not a two guard. And we know Tyrese Halliburton needs to be the point guard. So I just think that's, for me, the biggest question mark. What do they do with Malcolm Brogdon? And unfortunately, I think it only this trade only means bad things for his next step.
Yeah, I'd like to think the same thing.
And before we go to the Pelicans trade, for fantasy ramification for this trade, assuming Brogdon doesn't come back very soon, he's been questionable to play the last couple games with the Achilles, but this trade could be really good for fantasy. Sabonis should be just as good, if not better, with Sacramento, and Haliburton, if Brogdon's not there, will dominate the ball handling duties. And the only difference is, I think, as crazy as it sounds, Sacramento had better players around him for assists than the Pacers do right now. But I think overall, both Sabonis and Haliburton will continue to be, you know, very, very good fantasy contributors. By the way, I'm have the ESPN Pacers Hawks cast up. Beautiful sight for Joe tonight and Zach. Goga Batazde makes dunk. Lance Stevenson assists. So
yeah, and Lance Stevenson offensive rebound and a putback. So nice. That jersey's looking real nice. In other news, first 3 minutes and 50 seconds in the game, Celtics up 14-0 on the
nine losses in a row coming up.
Cam Thomas, baby.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I said in the Discord. Someone just said Wolf. Yeah. I said, "Hey, this is music to my ears right now as a Cam Thomas owner." So let's talk about CJ, because he had been linked to New Orleans a couple weeks ago, and I don't like New Orleans. Obviously, with this move, has made it very clear that they are going all in for the play-in spot, which sounds ridiculous. But do you guys think this is an indication at all of their internal timeline for Zion? Because if it is, like, you look at a potential play-in starting five of Devonte Graham, CJ, Brandon Ingram, Zion, and JoVal. You lose a lot of punch off the bench with NAW gone, but I think Jose Alvarado has proven to be viable. Herb Jones off the bench, Jackson Hayes and his emergence off the bench. Like, if this team gets Zion back, lands in a play-in, and you don't have the Lakers, like, really pick up their play, that could be a play-in matchup, and that could be a very dangerous play-in matchup for the Lakers. Well, they're going to win it, but it could be a trap game.
Let's not underrate the other pieces of that deal. Like, getting – like, Tony Snell is not nothing, right? Like, from a fantasy
perspective. In games he has been.
Larry Nance is a good player, by the way, too.
That's what I was going to get to, is I think, like, the Larry Nance piece of it obviously is more important than Tony Snell. Just trying to illustrate, like, adding to that depth, right, that you were talking about, Joe, if this team gets healthy – and, like, being able to play Larry Nance at the small ball five and Zion at the point forward or point center, whatever you want to call it. Like,
yeah.
And I do I think I said this last week. Like, I've thought since Zion posted, it was just a video of him dribbling, right? It wasn't him working out or anything like that. But, like, why post that if you're not planning on coming back this year? I guess it's just conjecture on my part, but, like, I really do think that he's going to make a return before the playoffs. And to your point, Joe, like, I'm with you. Like, that's not a team I want to see in a win or go home scenario in the
play-in. It's totally play-in based. Like, if they come out of the play-in tournament, they're getting destroyed by Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like, they're getting absolutely destroyed. but
that gives their whole fan base in the franchise. Exactly. Hope,
And I wonder, I also looked at it as, like, I think you're right that there's a very good chance Zion does return before the playoffs. But also, like, this might just be a move by New Orleans saying, look, Zion, like, they've been playing better as of late. They're kind of right there in that play-in range in the West. But it's like, all right, we just added a veteran, you know, really good player in CJ McCollum. Like, please don't leave. Like, not that he's like.
Well, I think that's to my point, to my next point. I think a lot of this is because we saw the dissatisfaction from Zion's family and, you know, what all those rumors were prior to this season about they're not doing enough to help. They're not, like, they're running Zion out of town. I do think this is an effort to, like, say, hey, like, they're not in win now mode as in contending, but they're like, hey, we are taking these years right now very seriously. And I think this is a kind of a means to do that. I think New Orleans got better. So I think Josh Hart is a significant loss, but not like one they can't overcome.
I feel so bad for him and Nance.
I know. I mean, Adam, you and I are both huge Josh Hart stans.
I love Nance too. Like they're both really good players. I think Zach, like, that's a great point. They could play a lot of lineups because we saw last year in the second half, Zion wasn't playing point guard, but he was just bringing the ball up. Like, I think we could see a lot of lineups where McCollum is the point guard, like, starts is listed as the one, and then it's like McCollum, Ingram, like, they could go with some really huge lineups. like obviously McCollum at the one, and then you could go Ingram at the two, like Zion at the three. Like they could do a lot of different things. But then you could also have Nance at the one, Zion at the four, the three. Like it's interesting. And like McCollum's had a down year, but like he can, like, do you think he, so their starting five is probably, do you think it's probably gonna be what, Graham, McCollum, Ingram, I mean, I guess right Zion, now.
Right now it'd be Herb Hayes, Jones or Jackson Jones. Hayes or right. Jackson Hayes and then Joe Bell.
And then
but Zion
say,
was signed in the four.
Right. Which I think is good, but like they can also defensively, Graham and McCollum wouldn't be a great defensive backcourt, but then you'd have Herb Jones, Zion, Jovell behind. Like I feel like some of the best teams that like in the league just have crazy versatility. And that's kind of what we're starting to see with New Orleans, which is interesting. It's 28-2.
Yeah. Holy hell.
It's 28-2.
It's 28-2 in the first quarter right now.
It's bad.
Oh my God. Let's
good
go.
Thing, is, it's a good thing Stefano's in Italy.
Is Cam Thomas going to check the score of this game? Or, I mean, not check the score. Check into this game?
He
like,
did
ever?
Check in. He immediately
rate?
Picked up a foul.
Fuck.
Not that it matters because, like, what are they going to do? Like, oh, get out of the game. Like, we're down by 26 points. That's crazy. All right, let's look at it from the. I thought Portland did a good job in this trade too. I liked what they did, especially getting. So they bring in what, Alexander Walker, Josh Hart, the first, I believe it was 2 seconds, and Tomas Satoransky's expiring.
Yes. Didi Luzada, don't leave my guy out.
I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, getting three picks, one first. Back.
Josh Hart is a good player.
Yeah. Getting CJ's contract out of there is big.
That's big.
That was real quick. That was the essence of that trade, is to get under the luxury tax.
They freed up $21 million.
Right. And then it'll be more so when after Tomas Satoransky's expiring.
Correct.
So you guys can talk about that. And then I want to add real quick. Did you see Woj's tweet like 25 to 30 minutes later?
No.
About how their plan is to add pieces around Dame. And then I saw Jake Fisher tweeted out that the Blazers are interested in acquiring Jeremy Grant. Like, what? Why?
That makes no sense.
Anyway, talk about Portland.
So the way I view it, like, Zach, you and I have been beating this drum, like, blow it up, like, trade Dame. Like, they're blowing it up, but they're obviously blowing it up around Dame. What I think they're hoping, the thing is Damian Lillard is 32. He doesn't have much time left as the alpha on this team. But I think what their hope is right now, they freed up a ton of cap, but they're also in a position where they can have, they will potentially have two top 10 picks in this draft. So they, if they lose enough and get luck and like a lottery ball bounces their way, they end up with one of like Paolo or Chet or something like
that. That's what happened to Cleveland. Cleveland was not correct. Supposed to get the third spot.
What I'm saying is you end up with franchise. That. You have a player that offers you a future while also giving you an immediate impact, but you also freed up enough salary where you might not be able to bring in a second superstar, but a player at the caliber or above the caliber of CJ McCollum to complement Dame. So you essentially replace CJ McCollum almost like just parallel what his production was. You add one of the top prospects in the country, potentially two of them. I think that it's kind of like a hybrid, like, hey, we're going to get back to being like a threatening playoff team, maybe not a contender, but we're also advocating more now for our future than we have been for the past, you know, 8 years. It's an interesting spot for Portland to be in, but their market size, they already have the superstar. Like, they don't really, like, unless they blow it all the way up and trade Dame, which I don't think they will, because both sides have already expressed their loyalty to each other almost to an annoying extent. Like, you see all these memes that are like, hey, Dame, we're down 40. He's like, hey, grind, don't stop. I'm taking my shots or something like that. Like, don't run from the grind. Like, you know, we poke fun, but both the team and Dame have shown like a really respectable amount of loyalty to each other, where I think they're just trying to both win now and rebuild. It's kind of an awkward position. That's my take on it, at least.
I just don't know where, like you said, Joe, we've talked about how Portland should blow it up for a while now, and clearly they are. I'm still of the mind that process should include trading Damian Lillard.
I agree.
For
Russell Westbrook.
And maybe it's this summer, right? Like, because he's hurt. if he's legitimately still hurt now, his trade value is less than he will than it will be in the summer.
Yeah.
But like you said it. He's gonna be 32 next year. We're gonna rebuild around a 32-year-old guard who was pretty much shut down in the Olympics. Like, yeah, I know it's a different game. I know
but
it's
you know, all that in the stuff. Olympics.
Yeah.
And he has a pretty chronic history of alarming health. Like,
sure.
Like his abdominal injury has shut him down for 60 games now.
Sure. I mean, and you've got, I mean, you're going to have to pay a guy, not a ton of money, but like Anfernee Simons is expiring this year. You know, you've got a lot of other guys just on 1 year kind of prove it deals. Ellaby, DSJ, Snell's gone now, but Ben McLemore 1 year, Cody Zeller 1 year. Like maybe you bring a couple of those guys back just to assist the tank, right? But you're going to have to give some cash to Anfernee Simons. You know, Nickeil Alexander-Walker is there, like new place for him, maybe a kind of a fresh start. So like Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Anfernee Simons, backcourt, if you can trade Dame for a bunch of picks and maybe a you know, maybe it's Ben Simmons, right? And then Ben Simmons, like you let Nurkic walk, or what I was going to say is like, I think Nurkic should also be moved before Thursday for whatever you can get for him. Like you don't need him. You're trying to lose as many games as possible the rest of the way. So if, you know, if you can trade Dame for Ben Simmons, like we've talked about multiple times, and you know, what do you have to lose at that point? Run the Ben Simmons point center experiment. You put Anfernee Simons out there with him, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, bring in a couple other pieces, and like you have fun for a year. You're probably not going to make the top eight at the end of the day. Maybe you get into the play-in, but if they have some success there with a guy like Ben Simmons, maybe that can attract somebody with more talent, more of a star-type pedigree to come up to Portland and play with a guy like Ben Simmons. Because I don't think, like, 32-year-old Dame, he ain't getting any younger. I don't think that's attracting the multiple above-average players that you need to contend in either conference.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't be in more in sync with you. And kind of flipping back quick to the other side, the New Orleans side here.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a tweet that popped up, and it said, you know, how did New Orleans fumble this bag? And it was a picture of Zion, Brandon Ingram, Drew, and Lonzo Ball together. Mm-hmm. That's a really good core, like a very good core. And, I mean, I'm glad it didn't work out, obviously, but getting Drew. But
Fine. They haven't fumbled shit, man. They got like 18 first-round picks in the next four years.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So I guess before we head out, one thing I want to do is each of you guys give me the most likely player that you think will be traded next. Mine's Dennis Schroeder.
Next or just in general between now and the deadline?
Yeah, like the next trade.
In general, it's impossible to predict the
Mine, by the way, last time we asked this, I said Robert Covington, and he was the first player traded. So
So you're as hot with the trades as Teddy Osman is from three. Go on, next.
I'm going to – yeah, so Schroeder's yours, Joe. That's a good one. That makes a ton of sense. I'm going to say – I'm still going to go Jeremy Grant.
Okay. Zach?
Harrison Barnes a close second.
Ooh.
Thad Young, because the Spurs don't want me to come burn down the AT&T Center.
Yeah, Thad Young and Dragic also seem like locks.
Man.
Dragic's going to be a buyout, right?
Right, yeah.
He was linked to Milwaukee. I would love Dragic as a depth piece for the Bucks. Because George Hill, like, I love George Hill, but he's been a shell of what he was in his last stint with the Bucks 2 years ago.
Dragic is kind of booty now, though, too. Like, and do you want his, like, I don't feel like he's been, like, that good of a dude.
Provides far more offensive upside, but
he hasn't been that good of a dude to have around for the last 2 years. Like, he wasn't elevating the Heat culture, what they talk about down there.
He also just, as soon as he got traded, he said, I'm not playing.
Yeah, he's being a dick.
Yeah, that's fair.
Did he literally go back to Slovenia until he gets bought out?
Yeah, he's not in the country, I don't think.
I think it's fine. I'm just saying, like, from my perspective, Joe, as somebody who knows a thing or two about championship teams. Okay. You know,
we all do, which is great. I know a thing or two about a championship team, as in singular.
Yeah.
Zach knows about multiple teams.
20 years of it. I'm just saying, I do agree with you that I think at this point you're probably getting more certainly on the offensive end from Goran compared to Georgie, but I think you'd rather have George in that role, especially because Drew's an Iron Man. Like, you don't need a ton of minutes.
Look at what he was doing. Look at the finals against Chris Paul.
Yeah, and you've also got Dante this year. And Dante can play some.
The thing is, if the Bucks make a move, Dante's gone. I can promise.
If they trade for Schroeder, he's gone. He's been linked as the one player that they would trade.
Mark Steiner, it was supposed to be Dante and like a pick for Schroeder, and the Bucks wanted Grant Williams, and that's where the Celtics said no. I want to ask Zach a question too. Dante and Nomura.
We were talking in Discord today a lot about potential trades, obviously, because it's that time of year.
Yeah.
Toronto.
Keep in mind, Toronto's supposed to be rebuilding right now.
Yep. Right. Like, I love
Masai is so good.
I love that. Dude, they nail every single draft. Not even like lottery picks. It's like late picks, second round. It's just ridiculous. But like, we know they're running this lineup with Fred and then like three or four just 6'8" athletic wings who can do everything. Mm-hmm. But they have been in talks about, you know, trading that Dragic contract and picks for a traditional center. I put it in Discord earlier today, Zach. Jakob Poeltl back to Toronto. I think that's very interesting.
I haven't thought of that. All right.
It's extremely interesting.
Let's chase this dragon here. What can we do?
That would just kill the precious Achiuwa minutes. I don't want that.
I mean, he might be gone. He might be gone in that trade.
Yeah. I mean,
not necessarily, like, but
Jakob Poeltl getting out of there. Like, Jakob Poeltl is very good on the defensive end. Like, he is a big factor in tandem with Cleveland.
The East has teams like Cleveland, Philly, Milwaukee, somewhat to an extent. We'll see if they even get Brook back, but like, there's teams in the East that Toronto's got to play where it's like, okay, you can play Siakam and Boucher at the five, but you will run into problems against Embiid and Cleveland's front court and some of these other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I do think they are looking for, you know, a traditional center, which Jakob Poeltl, obviously familiar with the team, good player. Yeah. I think the Spurs would be looking to trade him. Not like running to trade him necessarily, but
yeah, I think like Pop in the front office love Poeltl. Mm-hmm. But I do, I mean, I would absolutely take this. Goran Dragic's expiring contract, the 2023 first. So like Raptors, it's most likely not a lottery pick there. I think that team continues to get better in the coming years. But the Spurs get that extra double draft pick, and they get the Raptors get Jakob Poeltl and then Doug McDermott. If Nick Nurse ever wants to play somebody off the bench, that's not a bad option.
And Toronto could use some more shooting too.
Like, I was literally going to say that kind of fills a void that Toronto currently has. Cam Thomas 106. Okay.
I didn't want to leave, and this is like almost 20 minutes ago now, but I didn't want to leave Tyreek hanging here all the way back to when we were talking Kings and Philly discussions.
Yeah.
You know, Tyreek plugged into all things Philly sports, saying the Kings initially shut down the Hallie to Philly talks because Morey asked for Buddy plus one of Davion and Fox with Hallie.
Yeah.
Then they tried to add Tobias to the mix, and Harrison Barnes became a part of it. Ultimately, Morey wanted too much, so that was why it got shut down.
Interesting.
Still don't see why they traded him, but
Guthrie chimed in and says Joe Ingles is getting traded. And that's what we talked about the Jazz on the pod last week, right? And with the Ingles contract, not a ton of other
Barnes
pieces there, but we were trying to get Jeremy Grant there.
Yeah, again, though, Jeremy Grant, like, he wants to be like the focal point of the offense, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's just not happening with Donovan Mitchell. Harrison Barnes, I think, would be a perfect fit there.
Yeah. Yep.
They need to do something too. So we'll see. We got got 2 days left, less than 2 days left. So,
and if today was any indication, it's going to be a fun. Like, we were sitting here like, this might be a little quieter than we expect. And
I mean, Zach, Eddie, and I are just going to be like staring for 2 hours potentially on Thursday if these trades keep popping off like this.
We'll have plenty of giveaways.
That'll be fun
to tide us
over. It's a good point. Well, I appreciate everyone joining us. 2 hours is a long time, but we made it through a 10-game slate and a podcast recapping some of the trades. If you have not signed up for FTN yet, you're cherry-picking. That's okay, but we want to give you all access that you can get. Use promo code FTNTV. Gets you 15% off of any package, whether you go annual or the monthly route. It would take off 15% off of every month, not just that initial month that you are a member. Pop in the Discord, say hi to me, Adam, and Zach. Come for the content and the projections, and trust me, you will stay for the FTN After Dark Discord. For Joe, for Zach, for Adam, this is the FTN NBA Podcast, and we will see you back on Thursday, February 10th, for the trade deadline special. Good luck tonight, and we'll see you Thursday.
Let's get these beans.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam, Joe, and Zach. Make sure to follow your hosts on Twitter at APPfeiffer24, at JMeds34, and at KawhiZenbergDFS. Hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.